Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, always at your fingertips. Liberty Roundtable, LovingLiberty.net. Kirk Crosby needs to reconnect, and I'm live. This is the broadcast for August the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two. Promoting God, family, and country, and protecting life, liberty, and property is what we do best. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Kurt's returning in seconds. James Edwards of the Political Cesspool Radio program with us. Commentator, author, family man in his own right. Does an award-winning broadcast every Saturday evening. 3 hours of award-winning talk radio. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Great friend of mine, personal dear family friend. Welcome back, sir.
Sam, always good. Always good to be with you. Especially good to be with you, I think, during trying times. That's the time when the bonds between brothers really strengthen and tighten. Love you.
All right. Let's rock and roll on this. So last hour, we talked in detail about some very, very serious topics. We talked about covenant communities. What are they? Well, they have different parameters. But bottom line, people agree to live together, agree to have one another's backs, and they might have different, you know, details to them. One might say, hey, you got to be voted in or you can't even live here. Others might just be, hey, we've all agreed to kind of live in a live free or die, move to a certain state, like the Live Free or Die State Project. And most covenant communities are somewhere in the middle, which is we're not going to control your private property, but we do want to have like-minded citizens live together. Many covenant communities have been tried over the years. If you look back in Jesus' time, they had a covenant community and they moved out. And you can learn about some of that if you study hard about the people who were Christians who moved away. You know, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints created covenant communities in the Rocky Mountains when they literally got ran out on a rail by Governor William W. Boggs. All right. This guy was a thug, and he literally declared an extermination order. Hey, women, children, everybody leave in the middle of winter. Bloody feet, don't care. At the point of a bayonet and a gun and rape and pillage and plunder, you're gone, said the governor. We appealed to the president as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints back in the day, back in the 1800s, and basically we went to the president, Mr. Van Buren, at the time. And Van Buren said, your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you. Well, we're not even close to those times right now. Netflix is still intact for most people. And Joe Biden's worried about his Corvette. And most Americans are okay because they got, as you heard at the top of the hour news, they got that appetizer still available in all 50 states, man. As long as that stuff's going on, no one's compelled to really do anything. All right? No one's really going to make changes in their lives. But I submit to you that once the gloves come off and people are hungry, people don't have internet, so they've lost their connectivity to the world, to their job. People don't have jobs. People don't have money. People don't have food. People are forced with the threat of vaccinations, whether they want it or not. Tyrannical government running down your throat. The police state running around. Everybody ratting on their neighbors for some supposed benefit kind of a thing. When it gets to that level and it approaches civil war level and or famine level, then people will change their mind and covenant communities will be rising up like you've never seen before. That's my prediction, that nothing serious will happen until tough times come. And on one hand, I'm not really for those tough times. On the other hand, I think that they're really the only way that people will take a lot of this stuff seriously. Okay? Dennis Prager just emailed me and he said, hey, our country's in trouble. My response, you think? Wow, that was a pretty neat headline there. Your country's in trouble there. Heard that. Our country is in trouble. I agree with him. But, you know, what do you do about it? Do you vote for Donald Trump and feel like, hey, man, I've done my duty. I voted and it's all good now. Is that going to be enough? Will that make the difference? Okay, I don't think so. And I personally am under the belief that, you know what, this discussion that we're having is more about who we are as people and more about the war in heaven continued on earth between Satan and the Savior Jesus Christ. Whose side, who are you on? As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord, goes the scripture, right? That's the real discussion right now. Politics is merely a tiny slice of that pie. Now, in the media and in the world, they want you to believe that's the only discussion that should be had. You're either a Donald supporter or you're a Biden supporter, and by golly, if you don't support one of those people, who the heck are you? You're living under a rock. But I don't see it as divisionary as that. I don't see that political teeny slice mattering a tinker's darn. Because in the scheme of things, day to day, how much time do I spend on politics? How much influence do I have on politics? I don't believe I or you or any individual really has that much influence. I'll tell you where I do think you have influence. In your own personal agency and in your family and then in your greater sphere of influence. In the business world, they talk about these circles of influence that you have, right? And they draw circles to show how many friends the average person has and how you can have that influence and how to expand that influence and how to use that influence to your advantage and everything like this, right? But I look at it differently and say, hey, how can I use that influence for God, family, and country? And how can I protect life, liberty, and property? And politics certainly has a part in that, but it's a minute part, right? It's a tiny part. It's a critical part. Don't misunderstand the point, but it is a tiny, tiny speck of dust. And you say, wow, the mainstream press wants you to believe it's all encompassing and all knowing and all whatever. I don't see it that way. I do think it's important. We talk about the political stories of the day to bring them to your attention. Hopefully out of the millions of headlines that are generated every day, we bring to you the top 10, 15, 20, 30 that matter the most, that relate to you and your family, relate to things that you should know about, things that you can make a difference regarding, etc. But in the end of the day, it's not a political discussion. Everything is moral. It is not political. It's not right, left, front, back, tall, short, and women, men, whatever. It's moral issues. But the moral issues relate to us and our personal agency and then our families and those whom we have influence over to encourage, to lift, to love. Kurt, am I nuts? All right, we'll try to get Kurt back. I thought he was back by now. James, am I nuts?
No, you're not. And this is probably the most important thing we could talk about is what should you be doing with your time, with the resources that you have available. And again, time is the biggest resource any of us has, especially once you enter into adulthood and fatherhood, even more importantly, and as a husband. If the question is Trump or Biden, then we can get into that question as we were doing in the last hour. Do you want to go 90 miles an hour? Do you want to go 30 miles an hour? If you just limit the scope to that particular question. But with regards to where is your time best spent? Well, it's raising a godly family. It is preparing them for eternal life. It is all of these things. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's much more important probably for us to be reading to our children than doing any of this. To be spending time to be praying with our children, to be taking them to church, to be teaching them to love Christ and follow in his footsteps and preparing them to lead families for generations to come that will do the same thing. I mean, that's how we leave a legacy. That's how we make a life worth living. And so, yes, I mean, that's what we should be doing much more than any of this. Now, can you have a balance? Can you do it all? Can you do both? Yes, you can. You can. You should be involved in the political issues of your time, and because that goes into helping your family and giving them a life where they can thrive and survive in. I mean, you need to be engaged. You can't just live in a bubble and never come out of the home, although your greatest work will happen within the walls of your home. You need to be engaged in the other stuff, too. But, again, if we broaden the scope of it all beyond this election, this, what you talked about in your last 5-10-minute monologue, that's where people's hearts and minds need to be focused. But it's not, you know, again, completely trivial to focus on presidential elections and what's going on.
Certainly not. It's a part of life, but it's not the ultimate part. Kurt?
Well, to add, hopefully, to this discussion, you know, I would simply say that, you know, we have to keep a focus on what's really important And, you know, at least when we're talking about the 30% going one way and, you know, or 30 miles an hour going one way and 90 miles an hour going the other way, or the same way. My opinion, you know, is a little different than that. If you see for every one new regulation, you get rid of eight, I see that as going in the right direction, not going in the wrong direction, because eight is much greater than one. And so, you know, that's my opinion. And, you know, I've constantly mentioned this many times, where Jesus says, be of good cheer, and we're told to basically be involved in things, and we know who wins in the end. So I think it's smart to go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with you. You know, and in this case, you know, President Trump, you know, I don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes, but if you had asked me before his election, hey, would he promote, for example, school choice like he has? Would he promote prayer in school like he has? Would he build at least some of the wall? Would he, you know, and you just go down the list. I would have said I'd be really surprised, and yet here we are, and he's done all those things and many more.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the broadcast shall continue. I think elections are a tiny slice of the pie, and I'll explain why in just a second. But I do think they're a critical part, as James says, and I do agree with the points Kurt's making. You say, how does that all work? You'll find out.
Transport back in time to our nation's founding at the Freedom's Light Festival. Visit with freedom fighters, colonial artisans, music, contests, prizes, over 35 activities for the whole family. Schedule a school field trip and fulfill the federal requirement to teach the Constitution. Can you crack the spy codes used to win the Revolutionary War? Take home a founding document printed on the exact replica Isaiah Thomas used for the first Declaration of Independence. Register and compete in the Constitution Bowl. Join us September 17th through the 19th. Register at freedomslight.us. Freedomslight.us. This event is completely free, now more than ever. We need to ensure Freedom's Light is not extinguished. Let's keep this light shining in the hearts and minds of our children. Freedomslight.us. That's freedomslight.us.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Elections matter, no doubt about it. James is right. Kurt's right that, you know what? There's a lot of good being done. It isn't necessarily just a slowdown to go to heck. There's a lot of good being done, and some of it is in the right direction. Kurt's right about that. How do you ferret through all that? How do you accept the different ideas that people have and the different focuses people have, but bring them together in a meaningful way? And I would submit to you that elections matter, but let me tell you what I've been told my whole life and get your responses, James and Kurt. James Edward with us, thepoliticalcesspool.org, his website. Check out his award-winning broadcast every Saturday night on your radio, thepoliticalcesspool.org. All right, now, every election cycle since I've been an adult, and it's been over 30 years now, okay? They tell me this election is the consummate election. This election is the one that tells, I mean, it's either we're going to melt down completely or you vote right. We're going to lose control of the Supreme Court forever. You know what? This is probably the last election. The next president probably will never leave. You'll have to get a block and tackle to get him out of there. You know, if we don't win this election, it's going to be revolution time. The Democrats are going to destroy the whole world. Man, it's going to be horrible. And, man, it all ends and begins with this election there now. Whoa. And I've heard that, man, this election might be the last free election we ever have. And they go on and on. Man, the economy, it'll just melt down if Donald wins or if Biden wins or if Clinton wins or if Bush or Dukakis or who knows who back in the day. And, man, if Reagan doesn't win, you might as well just stick a fork in it. It's over. Fat lady will be singing before you know it. By golly, the country, the Constitution is 6 feet underground. And, man, this election, this one is the one. I mean, Sam, you got to, and on to the point where it's like, you know what, I'm about to puke. Stop already, okay? They say that every single time. Oh, this one, though. But Sam, this one, I mean, buddy, look at all the, and they go on and on to ad nauseum, right? To where it's just like, are you kidding me right now? They say that every time, and they have my whole life. I suspect they've said that since Cain killed Abel. I mean, it's crazy town, right? To the point where back in the day in Jesus' time, he was going to go and come, and the king was going to declare war and take out all the thugs and stop it now. And no, he came in peace, and his message was totally different than they expected, and they were wrong then, and they're wrong now on this point. What do you think of that, James?
Yes, it's like a heavyweight boxing match. Every time there's a heavyweight boxing match, the promoter is presented as the fight of the century. And it's certainly been like that for as long as I can remember. Kerry versus Bush, which was completely inconsequential in just about every way, was the greatest, you know, most important election the world has ever seen. You know, so I can remember all of that. This one might be, though. Only
oh, yeah, of course this one might be there. Yeah. You see, now you're sucking down the Kool-Aid, you and old Jim Jones, huh?
Yeah, well, here's the difference, though. We are really teetering.
Oh, yes, we are, man. We've been doing that for centuries.
Yeah, but really.
Teetering on the brink of societal ruin.
It's inevitable now. Here's the one difference between now and all of those other elections. All those other elections, you still had a historic majority. A Christian majority now, and it might not be now. Well, I'll tell you this: if the Republicans lose this one, they'll never win another election because again, the demographics. That's the whole thing. An election is a demographic headcount. If the Republicans lose this one, they'll never again win. And that's not hyperbole. That's not just a bold statement. They'll never again be able to compete on a national scale, and maybe too late already because of this very reason. Because you have too many people from the third world, and that's just a Democratic voting drive. And when they come in, it's just a straight ticket Democratic vote right down the line in whatever states that they land on. And normally those states are Florida or Texas for obvious reasons. And you lose Florida and Texas, and you can absolutely not win an electoral college ever again. And they may lose Florida this time, and if they do, the game's over at about 8 o'clock p.m. on election night. That's what I'm saying. If that happens, you can forget any of these people that might even get
what do you mean?
Service.
What do you mean? Let's say that all happens, then what?
Well, then you can absolutely write off any candidate winning on a federal level.
Yeah, who cares?
That will even give lip service to Christian or constitutional issues like Trump does, and he's done good on Paul.
Yeah, so what?
Kurt was saying, well, so what is this? You will probably see a breakdown on America.
Yeah, so what?
Line. Well, I'm just saying, as far as elections goes, this is probably the most important one because never before has that really been in play.
Yeah, but who cares? What happens if it goes south? So what?
Well, maybe you'll see. I mean, who's to say? I mean, that's the thing. I don't know. I don't want to find out for my children's sake. I mean, maybe the entire country looks like Minneapolis right after George Floyd. Maybe the entire country looks like Seattle and Portland.
Yeah, so the anarchists take over and no one cares about the Constitution anymore. Hey, societies have been doing that for 6,000 years plus, buddy.
Well, it's not anything my children have lived through. That's the difference, I guess, from my perspective.
I see. Okay. What about you, Kurt?
Well, I think one of the key things here, Sam, and, you know, I know that you're doing the, you know, great job of doing the, you know, devil's advocate here. But I would simply remind myself and anybody else who wants to listen that the cause of freedom and liberty is something that the God of heaven values very much. The adversary or Satan's crowd has been working hard to take that away from us ever since before we were born. It's a battle that went on there, and it continues here on earth. America is in, you could say, the crosshairs simply because it is the main place of freedom. It's in such an area where, you know, this idea of liberty and freedom is such a small group of people throughout history have even enjoyed parts of it like we do. And it's so important, our duty is so important as to what we do when it comes to that, whether it's on our local towns, our cities, our states, our even our federal government, and how that affects the world. I believe in the Christian patriots and the values that they offer as, for example, salt to a meal. A small amount of something can make a big difference, and we do have this continued battle in defense of freedom and liberty. It can be won or lost, you know, on a daily basis, and pushed forward or lost based on what we do. And so this is important. It is a call of duty, if you will, that the God of heaven has given us for us to follow his commandments. And, that, I believe, includes this protection of liberty and freedom.
All right. I wouldn't look at myself as the devil's advocate, as Kurt wants to paint it. But I would say that I kind of think of myself a little bit more like Clarence. You ever seen the old Christmas movie where Clarence is in there, James? It's called It's a Wonderful Life, sir.
Okay, yeah, Wonderful Life.
All right. You ever heard of the Grinch?
When I was very young.
You ever heard of the Grinch, the Scrooge, who was shown kind of how his life was and how his life took a turn for the worst and what it could be and this kind of thing?
Of course.
All right. So there's a gazillion parodies on this idea, but what would life be like, so to speak, is the idea of Clarence. And Clarence shows... what life would be like if the main character wasn't born, right? And or didn't exist, and or made different choices. There's a gazillion themes on this narrative. What if the Founding Fathers didn't care about liberty? What if in their day they just jettisoned the idea and said, hey, it doesn't matter, tinker's darn. Hey, man, going 90 mile north, going 30 mile north, it doesn't matter, you're going the wrong direction, it's horrible, and it's just an all big old loss, and forget it. It's a tyrannical nation, George is king, and that's that. And what if the Clarence Thomas, or Clarence, the angel, trying to earn his wings, if you will, and It's a Wonderful Life, George spent some time with him and learned quite a bit, right? The Scrooge spent some time and learned quite a bit, right? What if the Founding Fathers, what if we went down that road with them? And I submit to you, we'd have a very different nation now if we, if they didn't do the things they did, if they didn't stand when it mattered most, if they didn't humbly, as Kurt wisely points out, do their duty. Now, I'm not really trying to be the devil's advocate, but I am trying to get people to think a little bit. And I am trying to get people to really question, does it matter? And I would submit to you that with a resounding yes, it absolutely matters. I agree that elections aren't the end and be all of everything. I want to get rid of that notion. But I also believe a stand for the sacred cause of freedom has always been and will always be absolutely 1,000,000,000% vital. As Kurt wisely says, it does matter to the God of heaven without a doubt, and therefore it matters to me. So I hope you think of me a little bit more like Clarence than the devil.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Some postal union leaders are expressing skepticism at Postmaster General Louis DeJoy's statement yesterday, in which he said that all changes he's been making to the Postal Service, like moving mail processing equipment and blue collection boxes, are being suspended until after November's election. More than a dozen postal union leaders have told CNN that sorting machines have already been removed or taken out of service. At night two of the Democratic National Convention, former Secretary of State John Kerry said President Trump has bankrupted everything he inherited from the Obama-Biden administration.
Our interests, our ideals, and our brave men and women in uniform can't afford four more years of Donald Trump.
Biden's running mate Kamala Harris will address the convention tonight, and Biden himself will accept the nomination tomorrow. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
Balance of Nature, it's the greatest thing in the world. I can't imagine where I'd be without it. You know, I feel 20 years old again, and I want to continue to stay in shape. I understand the oversaturation in the market and the resulting cynicism that people have, but Balance of Nature works for anybody and everybody. And as much as it's a today product, it's a product for the future for me. I am the most satisfied customer in the world. I don't know what I would do without it.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
At least 30 wildfires continue to rage in California, and at the same time, the state is suffering under a heat wave. And investigators say a California high school soccer star who died at practice last weekend may have been killed by the heat. The 17-year-old all-city player died after working out with his club team at a park in Chino Hills when it was 111. The official cause of death will be announced after an autopsy. In Virginia, lawmakers are holding a special session this week to handle dozens of criminal justice reform proposals. The one proposal in particular that's sparking a battle is a push to change a law that currently allows police to charge people with felony assault on an officer, even if the officer or officers involved are not seriously hurt. The bill by Senate Democrats would downgrade the charge from a felony to a misdemeanor. They're also considering bills to ban the use of police chokeholds and no-knock warrants. And this is USA Radio News.
So I'm trying to be a little like Clarence, not necessarily trying to be the devil's advocate. And I bring up a lot of the arguments that I brought up at the start of these discussions because I believe that's what people are saying to me, trying to convince me one way or the other. And I submit to you that it absolutely matters. Freedom does matter. Yes, you don't need to be involved in politics 24/7, but it is your duty to vote. It is your duty to understand elections and vote for the person who would represent you the best. Vote for those who would hold the moral high ground. It is a small piece of life, but a critical piece, no doubt. And the things that we do individually matter, folks. And even if we're going 30 miles an hour south versus 90 miles an hour south, as James wisely says, we're buying time till the Savior comes. That's not a bad view. You could say, well, Sam, voting for the lesser of two evils is still evil. It all depends on how what you determine to be evil. If I vote for a third party that can't win at all, and I know they can't win, is it evil to bury my head in the sand and say, hey, I won't influence for good where I can in the arena that matters? What if I don't vote at all? Is that a better plan? See, you can ask all these questions, and what you do is you get down rabbit holes that lead you to a no-win situation. At the end, I have my view, you have your view, and we're stuck, and nobody can make a difference. I would submit to you that America's in trouble. I would submit to you, like Clarence told George in It's a Wonderful Life, your choices absolutely matter. And I wish I could take this nation on a Clarence or a Scrooge type reality check. What would society be like today in the greatest country on the face of the earth if the founding fathers just went, the heck with it, it doesn't matter, it tinkers darn, and they just jettisoned the cause? What would America look like today? And I submit to you that it would be a horrible. You think George was dismayed to see what things would be like if he wasn't standing tall? Just imagine if the founding fathers didn't stand tall. Just imagine if Christians through the centuries didn't stand tall. Just imagine if you and I don't stand tall, what the future, because isn't it past, present, and future, folks? I think it is. The past is wonderful because, as Kurt said, Americans, Christians, God-fearing patriots did their duty in the past, and that's why we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we are receiving the blessings of their suffering, of their fortunes, their sacred honors, and their lives, and we stand on the blessings of their sacrifice. Are we going to let our children down and either one, get out of the game and say it doesn't matter, or two, rationalize our way out of being as influential as we could possibly be? Or are we going to triple down on that legacy and stand as tall and as strong and as moral and as patriotic as we possibly can, thanking those who went before us for their example and their service and their pioneering zeal? And we will double, triple, quadruple that zeal in our day and say, you know what? I may not be able to solve the world's problems by 3 o'clock. You're right about that. But I can and I will do everything within my power to see a free people meet their Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what I will do. And absolutely, I am on board like no other. That's what Clarence is telling us. That's what we need to tell each other. That's the mission of God-fearing Americans. That's the mission of free-living patriots. That's the mission of those who believe in pro-life, who believe in God, who believe in family, who believe in country, who believe in the protection of life, liberty, and property. That is our obligation. I submit to you that, as Kurt says, it's a duty. He's right, but it's more than a duty. It's a sacred commitment that I submit to you we made before the world was. When we were in heaven with our God, there was a war waged in heaven. Do y'all remember that? No, you don't, but it's true. The Bible tells you all about it. And if you're a Christian, you understand that war continues today. Are you a warrior for freedom? Are you a lay down, licking the boots for slavery kind of person? Who are you? Let me ask you that. Who are you? We all get discouraged as George did, but thank heavens Clarence came to the rescue and said, hey, now I don't know that Clarence was playing the devil's advocate. He was trying to get his wings. You know what I'm talking about? He wasn't really trying to be negative. He was just trying to say, hey, you know what? Things could go bad in the past and in the present, but what we can deal with right now is the present and the future. I can't control the past. So I've got an announcement to make, and then I want to get your take on it, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't been a Trump supporter in the past. I've said he's an inside guy, be very careful, da-da-da-da-da, and that all remains true. However, I submit to you that if I want a chance to make a difference, then I will look at things as they really are, okay? Reality is things as they really are. And let me tell you how it really is. You ready? Donald Trump has been the most pro-life president in my lifetime. It is not debatable. Could he do more? Without a doubt. Should he do more? I pray he does. I will do all within my power to help him do that. But I submitted to you that when the Republicans took power in the beginning, I said pro-life is the most important issue. It is the singular most important issue, ladies and gentlemen. I said that then, and I mean it now. And so I have been an independent American and or a Constitution Party member for literally the last several decades. I am now changing my party affiliation to Republican, and I am going to vote for Donald Trump, and I endorse Donald Trump right now for one singular reason. He stands more pro-life than any elected person in my lifetime. And if Donald doesn't win in November, we lose that. James, are you shocked?
Sam, I kind of had an idea that that was coming based upon the conversations that you and I had shared behind the scenes over the course of the last few weeks. It is a pretty stunning development, though, compared to where we all were 4 years ago. Where 4 years ago, when we were in Cleveland, and before and after that even, you know, I was the one that was so eager for Trump, and you was saying things that were very grounded and very well-reasoned, but I just thought, no, this is it. We got to go all in. And what you said wasn't debatable. I mean, you weren't wrong. But it is interesting now that you've got the public endorsement, because I know you said that you weren't going to vote for Trump last year, or last cycle, and that you didn't. And again, I'd always vote a third party, too. But it does show how perspectives can change. And this gets back to your greater point about furthering the work of the kingdom, being involved in these affairs, but also keeping your eye on the prize. It's all about doing your duty. It's about doing one's duty, come what may, and letting the results be in God's hand, to paraphrase the great Robert E. Lee. But I remember when I was 20 years old, this very month, 20 years ago, I was in California for the Reform Party convention with Pat Buchanan, about 20 years ago, nearly to the day. And I remember back then thinking, well, you know, we're going to win this election. You know, I was 20 years old. I'm going to tell my people at my church, I'm going to knock on doors and tell them what this guy stands for. And it's just going to be so obvious, this is the guy that they've got to vote for. We're going to win the election. Pat Buchanan's going to be the next president because I'm involved now, and I'm going to go out and see this thing through. Well, obviously, that's 20-year-old naivete. 20 years later at 40, the principles don't change. We're still for everything we've always been for. But to me, in doing one's duty, I think here's the thing, Sam, setting an example. You're right. Our very best efforts may not be enough to change what's going to happen in this next presidential cycle in November. It may not be enough to bring America back to the vision of the founders. But what we can do is be a shepherd, a good shepherd for our flock. And our flock is the audience that God has given us here on this radio network. And if that's all my life is going to be, that's going to be a life well spent. If at the end of the day, I check out of this as having been a good husband, a good father, and a guy who did the best I could to encourage, educate, inspire, and give hope to the audience that God gave me, that's a great life. That's a life more fulfilling than I think a lot of men are going to be able to live.
All right, so my headline for this hour says, Dennis Prager, our country is in trouble. Sam Bushman, what are you going to do about it? And that's really the kind of the theme today, ladies and gentlemen. What I'm going to do about it is I'm going to see that the most pro-life president in my lifetime, to the best of my ability now, remains there. And then I'm going to do everything that I can to encourage him to be more pro-life. The second point to be made is I'm going to stand for the rule of law. And I'm going to stand with the president and say we cannot have illegal immigration run over this country. We just can't have it. Biden and crew would let that happen. I don't think this election is the end-all and be-all, and I don't think it's the end of the world if Biden gets elected. I think it'll be a rough road to hoe for us and our children. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think it's the end of the world. I think God's still in control, even if Biden wins, is the point. Nevertheless, I, like Clarence, the angel that wants to earn his wings, want to influence America to say, hey, what would it be like if Sam Bushman does nothing now in the future? What will it be like if Kirk Cosby and James Edwards and others just say, hey, it doesn't matter a heck, who cares? You know, I can't make a difference and whatever. I'll live in a covenant community if the right one comes along. I will defend America. I will stand for pro-life, and I'll do everything within my power to see the principles of God, family, and country are promoted. And that's why we're on your radio, for this very reason. When we get back, we'll hear from Kirk Cosby directly. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. There's my take, Kurt Crosby.
Well, one of the things I would like to throw in here is to help the listeners understand maybe a little bit about, you know, the whole, I don't know, the landscape here, just so that you know, you may not be aware, but Sam was born a blind person, you know, and he's basically been that all his life. He and his wife have 8 children. They have worked hard to, well, I don't know of anybody who's really put more into the cause of freedom. You know, years ago, they literally moved their family to buy a radio station. They sold a beautiful home to buy a radio station to promote the cause of liberty, and have been working in that tirelessly for, you know, more than 20 years that I know of. And so occasionally when Sam, I feel like, you know, occasionally feels the weight of the world on him, if you will, you know, and somebody's coming and saying, hey, you know, what can you do for the cause of freedom, whether it's moving to a covenant community or something like that. You know, Sam thinks basically this is my, you know, twist on it, if you will, or my read of it, like a sportscaster that watches a football game and knows what the quarterback is thinking. You know, Sam thinks, well, I already did that. I've done that. I continue to do that. Why are you unwilling to promote the cause of liberty? Why are you unwilling to put all of your, everything you've got into protecting America? Because he's done it. And so when he asks for your support and for your assistance in the protection of the cause of liberty, it's because he's already done it, and he hopes that, you know, more folks, whether it's James Edwards or so many other guests we bring to you, that, you know, you'll be like them, ladies and gentlemen. You'll put your widow's mite, if you will, into the cause of liberty, so that when you one day stand before the God of heaven and he asks you, how did you do in your cause of standing for the cause of liberty and freedom, which he values very, very highly, you'll be able to say, hey, I did my best. I did my all. I repented for my former deeds and, you know, did everything I could to promote the cause of freedom and liberty in America and the world.
Thank you, Kurt, for that update. Certainly, I expect people to double down, triple down for their cause of liberty. And, you know, I don't expect everybody to follow my train of thoughts or agree with everything that I say or do or believe or whatever else. But I submit to you, there's not a forum like this in the world, with Liberty Roundtable, with Loving Liberty, and the networks we put together, and the different talk shows represented. There's even talk shows that people may disagree with. But you know what? I defend the First Amendment and the right to say and think and believe what people do. You know, even if you don't like what they say and think, you better defend their right to say and think it, or yours will be on the chopping block next. All right, so this is critical stuff we're talking about. This is no child's play. And I hope to have played the role of a Clarence, not the role of the devil's advocate. But I do realize how serious this really is. I don't mean to minimize it with my comments that are a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but are a little bit hopefully designed to make you, you know, it turn inward a little bit and reflect on what we have today and why we have it. And then what we'll have in the future based on what we individually, and then individuals all make up a nation. One becomes two, then becomes the few, then becomes many. What we will have. And I think that's critical to be aware of. Now, there are people doing good things and making a difference. And some would say they're tiny things. I would say they're serious. And they're huge. And they are more important than we might think. Janelle Martin is with us. And she's with a group called We the Parents. All right? And they had a meeting back in the day to make a difference. And they've got an initiative now. They're organizing a protest to end the state of an emergency. Now, I don't know if I want to use the word protest because that turns into riots. I would use the term a little bit more like we're staging a rally, an educational rally, to help people understand the critical nature of what the governor in the state of Utah is doing, which governors across the country are mirroring this reality. Hi, Janelle.
Hi. Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Yes, so let's talk a little bit about what you guys are doing.
Sure. So since I was on with you guys last time about the county commissioners meeting, we have formed a group called We the Parents. At the moment, we're just on Facebook, but we are building other avenues and things. Our main goal is to stand up and fight for the rights of parents and children. We believe that we have God-given parental rights to decide what things are done, especially to our children. That's who we are. At the moment, we are organizing to fight the state of emergency because we feel like that's kind of the excuse that the governor is using to hide behind and to promote his power grab. We wanted to, I guess, just let everyone know that in Utah, the state legislature is voting tomorrow on whether or not to extend the state of emergency yet again. So we have been urging people to call their local representatives and say, enough is enough. It's time to put checks and balances back in order. It's time for the legislative branch to do what we elected them to do. And then to culminate our phone calls, I guess you could call it a visual demonstration. Maybe that's a good way to put it instead of a protest, but a visual demonstration of our desire to end the state of emergency. I'm going to be on the lawn of the Capitol building or just off the lawn, wherever we're allowed to stand, with our signs reminding our representatives that they work for us and we want the state of emergency ended. And the reason it's 7 o'clock is because that's the eve of the vote. So we have been urging people to call all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day today. I've called and talked to a couple of my representatives and had to leave some text messages. And then tonight is going to be like the final, like, remember, we've left you messages. This is what we the people want.
All right. So when 7 o'clock p.m., where the Utah State Capitol? Why? Because we want to end the state of emergency that's being used for massive power grabs. Is that tonight?
Correct. Yep. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Capitol building.
All right, tonight,
all
7 o'clock, it is, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to get involved now. Is there a place people can learn more, Janelle?
Yes, right now we're just on Facebook. But if you go to We the Parents on Facebook, search for that group. We're about 1,000 strong right now and growing. That's the best place. Or you can even look me up on Facebook, Janelle Kane Martin.
I'm going to put We the Parents, find them on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Excellent. We'll do it, ma'am. We sure appreciate you. Would love to have more time for it, but we're flat out of time.
That's fine. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Janelle. We appreciate it. James, is she Clarence?
Hey, you know what? People like that really give me a lot of hope and inspiration. I like, you could just hear the enthusiasm in her voice. It's for a great cause. She's eager. People like that are the ones who really do change things. And here's another thing people got to remember. Doesn't necessarily have to be what you do. What if you plant a seed and somebody draws from your example, and they go on to do something far greater than you ever could. I mean, that's just, I guess, the butterfly effect of activism as well. But you just never know how God's going to use your effort. Even if you don't score a great victory on the field where you stand and in the battle that you're engaged in, there could be some residual things that happen on down the line. That's why you just always have to do your duty. But I tell you what I want to see. I want to see a picture of Sam and Kurt like I saw on national news all over the place when they used y'all to illustrate the Val Huer story back in 16. That was the way we started off one heck of a year. How far are y'all from the Capitol? Y'all, is there anybody from Liberty News Radio going to be making it down there tonight?
You know what? We're going to do the best we can. I'm looking into availability. I just found out about it late last night. That's why we didn't have more time for this discussion. I feel bad that we didn't have more time, but I just found out about it late last night and had to try to set it up and have Janelle on and focus on it. These are the people, in my opinion, that are in the trenches and making a difference. And these are the people like the Founding Fathers that literally are working together to say, hey, you know what? We can't solve it all, and I get that there's a lot of trouble, but I'm not going to focus on the problems. What I'm going to do is spend my time on the solutions. What I'm going to do is spend my time on what I can do. I'm going to use my circle of influence in positive ways to bring courage and hope. And where the arms hang low, I'm going to grab them by the arm and link arms with them and lift them up and give them hope and courage. And, you know, hey, Kurt needs a bigger boat because more people are bringing tartar sauce. And, you know, it's all about what we can do. It isn't about what's being done to us. It isn't I need to be reactive and react to everything. It's that I can take courage, pray hard, and get up and take action on my own. And that's what George did in It's a Wonderful Life. He took action. He kept his community together. And believe it or not, there was even an economic component back in his day that the It's a Wonderful Life it really highlights. We need to take courage and do the same thing. I know that's a movie, but Kurt likes it when I talk about movies once in a while. I'm trying to pull a Kurt because there's some wisdom in this. Kurt, what do you say to all this?
Well, like James said, ladies like this, like Janelle and so many others, we can take, they give us courage. They enthuse us or buoy us up, if you will, and we hope to do the same for you, ladies and gentlemen, as we go about our, you could say, mundane tasks on a daily basis, but we take the time to be with you on this program, and we hope that, in some way, we can all make a difference in promoting the cause of liberty and freedom and making the world and America great again.
In the words of Clarence, I, like the lion in The Wizard of Oz, submit to you that it's all about courage. It's all about courage to do what is right and stand for that is godly. Despite all odds, we can have the courage and the hope and the faithfulness of a Job in the Bible, that we can take our lumps, which surely will come plentifully, but we can stand tall for the sacred cause of liberty. That is our prayer. Clarence Thomas, Devil's Advocate, James Edwards, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, all aside, I hope you can catch the spirit of the greatest restoration being undertaken by patriots in modern times today. Janelle's part of it. James Edwards is part of it. You, my fellow Americans, I hope are part of it as well. It does absolutely matter. And if you don't believe me, go watch It's a Wonderful Life. And we, like the lion, need to have courage and expose the Wizard of Oz, the shriveling man called politics behind the curtain that wants to just keep you in fear. Bust out with courage, my fellow Americans. Take heart and trust in your God. Make your faith whole by your works and get involved in meaningful ways. That is our prayer today on your radio as we testify of Jesus Christ and stand for God, family, and country to the best of our ability. Maybe there's other heroes that are better at it than we are. Don't know, don't care. All I want to do is my part, my little teeny part that I pray makes a difference. And that what I can do, make no mistake, I will do. Because I and me and my family are on the Lord's side. That's our prayer for you too, ladies and gentlemen. For Sam Kurt and James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, God save the Republic.